Hello and welcome to The Home Building Hero, where we help you become the hero of your new home by providing you all the information that you need. No matter if you're building, buying, or designing your next project, we got you covered here at The Home Building Hero. Coming to you live today from the Pella Windows and Doors Studio of Wisconsin. Hi, I'm your host, David Bellman, president of Bellman Homes. Thank you so much for tuning in to The Home Building Hero. And if you haven't already, hit that subscribe button so you don't miss any future content. Today's topic, five noteworthy housing markets. So I found this article in the Builder magazine, and the research firm Zonda is the one that came up with some of this data for five housing markets in the United States to watch. And if you remember earlier in the year, we had Allie Wolf on, and she's the chief economist for Zonda, and she did some of the research in this article. So just want to make sure we give her credit, and hopefully we will get her back on the show in a couple months here. But I want to point out some of the housing markets that have had some pretty big changes and impacts in their market. And we'll talk about some of the data that's come through with this, and then also why that's happening. Because it's always interesting to follow some of these bigger housing markets, and some of these are just noteworthy because of things that are happening around the country. So with that, let's begin. All right, the most noteworthy housing market is Dallas-Fort Worth area. And Dallas is always interesting to watch because they do pump out a lot of volume of new homes. And it's usually near the top of the list for home markets. So it's always worth watching that one. And the thing with that market is that it has continued to be a bustling market, and the pandemic has not slowed it down one bit. According to a lot of the regional builders, and Dallas is filled with a lot of large, high volume builders, these guys are reporting some of their best years they've ever had. And they are just, they're going to town. They don't have enough capacity to even do everything that they want to do. So the thing that's helping them especially is, again, Dallas and Texas in general has been a state that's been pretty light on the regulations during the COVID time. So they've been, you know, for the most part, open for business, which helps. But besides that, they haven't had a lot of listings hit the market of existing homes. So that's pushing anybody that's looking for a home then into building, because if there is no existing inventory or it's so hard to get one, you're almost better off than to just, you know, pay the extra fee and get a brand new home. So as far as their market's concerned, they've seen home prices jump 6.5% to 7% just from April of last year to October. So from spring to fall, their prices shot up dramatically, and inventory is less than 2 months for spec homes. Our market here in Wisconsin is less than 2 months for existing homes. There's not even 2 months of spec home inventory, which is a much higher price point. So that's interesting to know. And the biggest concern that the builders and developers have in that market is that they don't think they have enough lots to support their future demand. And I think some of the builders are even worried that they may not build as many houses as previous year just because they don't have the dirt to build it on. So very interesting to note that. So that could, you could see a flattening of activity, not because of anything to do with buyer demand. The buyer demand is there, but you're seeing a flattening of activity because there just isn't enough dirt and available lots available right now. So kind of interesting. And of course, whenever you have a boost in demand, lots take a long time to create. So if you have lots that are, you know, created and they get sold really fast, it could take 2 years to get another new batch of lots out there. And so that's what's happening is those things are getting bought up. And, you know, we joked earlier in a podcast that homes were like toilet paper. Well, now vacant lots might be like toilet paper as well. All right, next market that they wanted to keep an eye on was the Phoenix market, Phoenix, Arizona. And that's another high-volume market. And right now it's number four on the list for their list of volume and markets that they typically keep an eye on. And it's been a strong market prior to COVID. And again, that market also has gotten stronger as COVID's went on. And it's a very different story than the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Now, a lot of Phoenix area is filled with retirees, and that's a big part of that market. And a lot of them move down there because of the warm weather in the winter and things like that. And they have a lot of communities and things like that. My parents had a home down there in the greater Phoenix area, so I'm vaguely familiar with that market. But the big thing that's happening in that market is there has been a huge migration of outside the state people. And a lot of them are coming from California, and a lot of them are coming from Washington, also Oregon. And they're leaving these coastal communities that are overregulated and expensive, and they're moving to Phoenix because the housing is so much more affordable. It's still got a good climate, but especially, you know, a lot of these areas, California especially, has a lot of tech companies. And as soon as the pandemic hit, they sent all their workers to work from home. And a lot of these workers don't feel like they'll ever be back in person. And so these folks, especially in the tech industry, are really struggling because to buy a home in any of those coastal West Coast states, you need, you know, over $1 million to buy a home, you know, in California, and it's a very basic home. And some of these other markets are very expensive as well. So it's very hard to even afford to live out there. So if you can work from home, why not leave the state, work remote, and move to somewhere where, you know, that money goes a lot further. So they get paid well, but you go and you take that money to a state like Arizona, and holy cow, you've got a lot of buying power. So that's what's been happening. A lot of them have migrated out and went to the Phoenix market. And it's interesting because we actually, my parents sold their home in Phoenix recently, and we had a buyer from California initially, and they came in kind of low, and they didn't take it. And it was I believe a tech buyer, and then a little bit later on, we did have someone come from Oregon and move over. And it seems like that's just kind of what's happening. And so we had an early preview of that. It makes total sense, and we're definitely seeing that. So it's an interesting market because of that, and you know, it's basically again a tight market as far as supply, and about 40% of the market's home buyers don't have a home to sell. So the people that are coming in, they're already either renting or they've already sold their home. So they're ready to jump immediately as soon as something hits the market. So another strong housing market. Again, they do a lot of volume. It's a fairly easy area to build in because it's dry. You can build all year. They have big tracts of land, and you know, they've got the infrastructure. So it's definitely primed to continue to burst with brand new homes. All right, the next market we're going to talk about is Jacksonville, Florida. So again, we're talking a lot of southern states, but those are always a little bit more high volume. But Jacksonville, that's kind of an odd choice, but there's a reason why they are pointing this market out, and it's pretty interesting. So as far as volume, it's 19 on the list. So it's not the largest volume market by any means. But what's happening is huge jumps there. The market's new home sales index is up 68%, just a huge jump. And MLS listings are down to less than 2 months of home supply, which we're seeing that in several markets, but that 68% jump is just, it's eye-popping. The reason Jacksonville is doing very well is it's a huge job market right now. And unlike other parts of Florida, where it's really set up for retirees, especially further in the south, or if you're near the Orlando area, which is a big tourism area, the people buying here are younger buyers. They're looking for jobs and looking for opportunities, and they have a huge and strong job market. And they've got a lot of reasons why. You've got it's nearby a major commercial port. There's three naval bases nearby, and they have some huge companies in the financial sector and also in the healthcare sector, and their headquarters are there. So they offer you know, a lot of employment opportunities there, and the city is very aggressive on offering incentives for new businesses or businesses to migrate to that location. So Florida has also been very much open for business during the pandemic, and they're you're seeing some of these bigger companies migrate out of Chicago and New York, where they've had, you know, continual lockdowns and nearly shut the whole city down. And so a lot of these bigger companies are moving south to Florida, and Florida's got the open to business sign up, and Jacksonville is definitely one of those communities. And if you can offer tax incentives and you don't have state income tax there, you have good weather, why the heck not, right? So you're going to see, you know, again, additional migration, and where jobs go, so do houses, because people that have good jobs have money and they're going to go buy homes. So that housing market is strong, and it's very likely that Jacksonville will jump up the list in the next couple years if you know, we still have the lingering effects of coronavirus, if those very blue lockdown kind of states like New York and Chicago and things like that, they continue to be conservative on their opening back up, more and more businesses are going to flock out of there. So interesting to note that city. All right, another southern city makes the list, Salt Lake City, Utah. And again, not a huge volume city. It's number 36 on their list, but it's growing tremendously, and it was noteworthy. And so they've actually seen a 10% increase in new home starts just from a year ago. And that's noteworthy in and of itself, but they've seen a 42% increase compared to 5 years ago. So there's clearly a desire to move out to Salt Lake City, Utah. And again, they are also similar to the Phoenix market, where they're getting a bunch of out-of-state jobs moving in. And people are citing the quality of life out there. You know, it's a little bit more of a family-orientated city. There's a lot of Mormon influence out there, obviously. But, you know, it's generally nice weather, good community, and it's a great place to live. So that is also a very interesting market for people. And the median price right now of homes out there is, or I should say new homes, not existing homes. This would be new homes. Is up to $417,000 plus. And that's up over 3.6% from the previous year and up 23% over 5 years. So can you imagine that if you bought a home there 5 years ago and it's up 20, you know, it's almost up a quarter of what you paid for it. So, you know, $400,000 house is now worth $500,000. You would have made $100,000 if you bought a house there 5 years ago. So that's some great return on investment. And that could fuel people to sell and upgrade and things like that. And, you know, the one thing that's interesting with this market that they note as well is lot supply. And I think this is a consistent theme you're seeing in some of these markets. They say they have a 20-month lot supply of lots that are ready to go on the ground. Now, that sounds like a lot. You're like, holy cow, that is a lot of lots. But they say that that's actually on the undersupplied side of the equation. And part of the reason is because most of their inventory, over half of it, is for homes above $600,000. And so they do have a lot of lots there, but they don't have affordable lots. And again, there is no such thing, I don't think, at least in many parts of the country, as an affordable lot. Lots have gotten very, very expensive, and because of the regulations and all those kind of things, and the time it takes to develop them, and so on and so forth. So lots are always going to be key, and that's a big driver in that market, and they don't have the affordable lots. All right. Now, the last market that we want to talk about is a little bit further up the coast. We don't have anybody too northern here, but we have Raleigh, North Carolina at number 14 on the list, and they have it's an interesting market, the North Carolina market. We've talked about this in the past. If you listen to other podcasts of mine, we have touched on this city before. They're very aggressive with allowing more affordable homes and affordable lots. And as a result of that, that's flocked a lot of younger people to move out to that market. And I actually had a marketing gal that worked for me for about a year and a half, and she kind of traveled around the country and settled on North Carolina as her home. So it attracts a lot of younger people. The affordability is really good out there. And what's happening in that market is interesting, because you not only have the younger people moving out there to start a family and have a nice home, you know, climate's decent and that kind of thing, but the affordability is the big driver. What's happening is the older grandparents are moving out there because they want to be by their grandchildren, and they call that baby chasers. And I actually have never seen that term, so that's very interesting to me. So they're actually seeing a lot of the grandparents moving out there so they can be around the grandkids. And of course, it's affordable, so they can retire out there, have money left over, and those kind of things. So very interesting. And the thing that's going on in that market as far as from a builder standpoint is they have tons of pre-sales. And they feel like their sales are going to be strong all the way into 2021 because of all the pre-sales that they have. But again, even though they have the affordable lots, they are very undersupplied in inventory. And what they're feeling right now is that a lot of the builders in that market feel like they're burning up their inventory for the future, and they're worried in 2 years' time that they're not going to have enough lots, and that they're kind of sacrificing the good of later for now. So they're using future inventory that they weren't expecting to use. So pretty interesting stuff, and it's interesting as you see, you know, two of the markets, especially North Carolina and the Texas market, which are much more aggressive on having affordable homes, how strong they are doing, and they're getting people to migrate in. You're seeing other cities that are, getting very populated from other states where they have too many regulations, and it should be eye-opening, especially if you're a government official. This is my PSA, I guess, and I'll get on my podium for a second, but a lot of these government officials that are really trying to overregulate housing, overregulate development, and raising the cost of housing are doing a massive disservice to their states and their cities. And you're seeing it, especially on the West Coast. California is very overregulated, and it's gotten to the point where it's completely unaffordable. And people are flocking in droves, and they're going to places where they can afford. And you can't blame people for doing that. If they can't afford to live there, you've got to move. And the pandemic has created this sort of interesting circumstance where so many people are working from home, and they now have that flexibility. So as soon as people were given that choice and that flexibility, guess what? They got out of there, and they got out of there quickly. So it will be interesting to note. Now, if the lockdowns completely get lifted in those states and the businesses say, you got to come back to work, that'll be an interesting phenomenon to watch in the next year or two to see if there's sort of a re-influx in those states. But again, I think the affordability factor and a lot of these tech companies especially can work from home easily and still be productive. So they're going to go with that. So there you have it. That is our analysis of the five housing markets to watch.
Once again, thank you for tuning in to the Home Building Hero, broadcasting live from the Pella Windows and Doors Studio of Wisconsin. I am David Bellman, president of Bellman Homes. And before you leave, make sure you hit that subscribe button so you don't miss any future content. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you very soon.